It's been some 80 years since 120,000 Japanese Americans were incarcerated in internment camps across the Pacific Coast during World War II, and 50 years since people of Japanese descent came together to form the Committee Against the Eviction of Nihonmachi, the equivalent of Japantown, as Japanese Americans faced generations of discrimination and displacement, even decades into the aftermath of the relocation and internment camp experience. It's also been 50 years since the Japanese Cultural and Community Center of Northern California became a fixture in San Francisco. As the center celebrates its anniversary, singer, songwriter, dancer, and author Nobuko Miyamoto is bringing a performance inspired by her latest album, 120,000 Stories, to town next weekend.
It's being done at the Presidio Theater on the 5th of August in the afternoon, 2 o'clock. And it's celebrating their 50th anniversary as an organization, but it's also is the 50th anniversary of A Grain of Sand, which is one of the first albums of Asian American songs, which was released in 1973 on Paradon Records.
Miyamoto says that the title of her pandemic album, 120,000 Stories, may be inspired by the experiences of incarcerated Japanese Americans during World War II, but the music and songs are applicable to people of all backgrounds who've endured and navigated all types of struggles.
120,000 stories, and it refers to the 120,000 prisoners, Japanese American prisoners who spent 4 years incarcerated during World War II. And so I wanted to honor that memory, but I also look at as a metaphor for so many stories that are not told, not sung, not heard.
Miyamoto composed the song Black Lives Matter about 5 years before George Floyd was killed, but she says the song became particularly relevant as people of all creeds, cultures, and walks of life marched in solidarity, demanding change and demanding that a measure of justice be served.
Well, I believe that if we can't claim a George Floyd to be a son or a brother, that this world is really in trouble. And I know that there are people who marched, who took risks in small towns all across the country and across the world. People of all colors stood up for George Floyd because it was such a visual moment that couldn't be denied. People actually took risks to do this. And the song, it was actually written before the George Floyd murder, because, you know, I've been following Black Lives Matter. My life has been about Black Lives Matter.
In addition to being a global citizen who's invested in the well-being of everyone, Miyamoto says Black lives have always mattered to her. She's the mother of a Black son, the widow of a Black activist, and the partner and wife of Turabu Betsuray Kirkland, a filmmaker and storyteller.
I have a son who is Black and Japanese, and his father was part of a struggle that's happened before Turabu, and was with Malcolm, and I want my son, I want my grandchildren, I want my community to know these stories. We get stuck in our little worlds, and those worlds may be very intense and have a lot of struggles in them. But I believe that we're only going to win the bigger struggle, and especially now, by hearing each other's stories, knowing each other's traditions, knowing each other's lives, because this is the way we grow empathy. This is the way we decide, well, you're not so different than I am, or my family had that problem too.
Miyamoto believes songs are the vehicles that make story sharing possible. And she says that if we can learn someone's story, we're more likely to find common ground with them and have compassion.
So listening to each other's stories, stories are not as threatening as going to a demonstration, for instance, because everybody's got a story and most people have big struggles in their lives. And so if we really get down to the nitty gritty, some of those struggles are pretty much related. Stories are important, and songs are very boiled down way of telling stories. I think it's a very condensed way of telling a story in 3 or 4 minutes. Whereas a book, somebody may not have the patience to sit down and read 300 words.
I appreciate what you're saying. And like, yes, some people aren't going to listen, read a whole book, but they're likely to listen to a song or hear one in passing, and you might plant a seed at least, right?
Right. And those small things can make a difference. Years and years ago, when A Grain of Sand first came out, Asian Americans didn't have our song. We didn't have a song of our own. Most people can think of a song that just reminds them of, you know, their family or something that in their memory that has meaning for them. But Asian Americans came across the water, so we're cut off from our home culture. We don't speak the language. We don't necessarily, because we've been trying to be American, we don't necessarily relate and understand the language. So, and yet we're not really accepted as Americans either.
Miyamoto says that over the years, she's seen evidence that music is the glue that brings everybody together, regardless which language they speak or which culture they come from. Although Miyamoto herself only speaks English, she says she can sing in multiple languages. The thing that's special about Grain of Sand, the album that's celebrating its 50th anniversary, is that, in Miyamoto's words, it weaves many complicated stories together.
So how do you tell this story of where we are somewhere in the middle? That's what A Grain of Sand did for a lot of us. It's a collection of songs that talked about who we were, our identity. It talked about our issues, but it also, you know, looked at George Jackson. It also looked at what was going on with Latino community, et cetera. So there were ways that we had songs in Spanish, ways in which, because we worked in communities, because we were activists and not just musicians, we had access to these stories. And the music took on another meaning when you were actively with the Latino community and doing things to take over a building, et cetera. And then you sang a song and suddenly they see you as an Asian American singing in Spanish. That changed everything, you know what I mean? So many times our songs sort of opened the door for people and they saw us in a more human way, a way that they hadn't seen Asians in this country before.
When Miyamoto took on the somewhat overwhelming task of writing the book, Not Your Butterfly, My Love Story of Relocation, Race, Love, and Revolution, she approached it as a work of heart from the lens of a songwriter.
It's called My Long Song of Relocation, Race, Love, and Revolution. So it's both political and personal. But it's also a record of the many relationships that I've had through this very fascinating period and dynamic period of the movement in the late 60s, early 70s into the present moment. So, and of course, I was a child of Japanese relocation. So that was my first memory. I was 2 years old. And so it's been a very long life and a long story. About 300 pages.
I have not read your book yet. I can't wait to read it. I was just preparing for this interview. You mentioned that the writing of the book was like a meditation or process, right?
Well, you know, I'm a songwriter basically. So this is the longest song I've ever written. And I actually looked at it as sort of, it was overpowering to me to think of writing a book. You know, I've written short plays and things like that. But so I looked at each chapter as a song, and that's how it really began. And then I began to see, you know, how this all fit together through the eyes of an artist, through the eyes of, and through the idea of a song, which is a very personal way of expressing a story. And so I tried to make it personal and as well as political and informational about, you know, a time that a lot of young people, including my grandkids, know not enough about. And so I wanted to preserve that story and the many relationships and dynamic period that we've lived through as people in the movement in the 60s and 70s, and who are still here to tell the story.
That's beautiful.
Miyamoto says her music is in many ways as eclectic as her life experiences and the people from all walks of life that she's worked with along the way.
I have fun working with all kinds of musicians, and some of which are going to come to San Francisco with me.
Oh, that's and so cool.
I have a great trio of singers and a bass player, piano player, and a drummer. It's amazing. So it's a really great group of musicians. And I'm going to have a couple of guest artists who are local. Francis Wong, who plays the saxophone, and BJ Hirabayashi, who plays taiko drums.
Awesome.
Nancy Hom, who's a visual artist, who we're going to use a lot of her visuals projected as well. These are old friends who were activists also. It'll be sort of a reunion in many ways, because in 1970, Chris Ijima and I traveled to the West Coast for the first time after we had written a few songs. and the Asian community was like excited just to have somebody who sang and looked like them, you know? And so San Francisco was one of the first places that we toured to.
And I love it. And now it's kind of a homecoming, right?
50 years later.
That's amazing. You mentioned that you're a child of relocation.
Yes.
Do you still have memories of those early days and what that was like?
Well, actually, that was my first memory, riding on my father's shoulders to mess hall in this very dusty place. I didn't really know where I was. I just knew that I was uprooted with my mother and father and a whole lot of people. But I didn't understand, of course. I was 2 years old. I didn't understand. And it really took many years for me to look back at this and unpack the effect that it had on my life as well as my parents and my community. And I think it was really healing for me to be able to write songs about it, because you start talking to your friends and everybody had a story about camp, whether if they were, you know, a child, 6 or 7 or 8, suddenly uprooted from their normal life, or people like my parents who lost their dreams, or people like my uncle who volunteered to fight for the 442 and lost his eye. There are a lot of stories that I wanted to put into that song, which I'm going to sing.
What's the name of that song?
Gaman.
Like Gambatte Kudasai?
Yes. Come on. Yeah, to be strong, to be tough, to endure.
I assume your audience will be people of many different backgrounds. And
I hope so.
Will that song be sang in Japanese or English? Or?
Just the chorus is that phrase, Gaman. But it's in English. I'm not a Japanese speaker. But there'll be some other music that has Japanese words and meanings in it, like Ichigo Ichie.
Yeah.
And the last piece that I'm going to do, called Bambutsu no Tsunagari, which actually is in Japanese, Spanish, and English. It was a collaboration with Quetzal and the band Quetzal. And we have a big project that we do called Fandango Bon. We bring Fandango and Obon together in one circle. Actually, now with West African dance and Muslim Hadra as well. And we've been doing this for about 10 years now, bringing communities together as a way of sharing cultures, traditions, and also centering around the earth, you know, talking about issues of how our communities take care of the earth.
In her 83 years on the planet, Miyamoto has found a way to reframe and reclaim the struggles she's endured in such a way that she's better for them.
When I lost my son's father, got killed, they said the strongest steel comes from the hottest fire. Been something that stuck with me all my life.
And unpack that for us a little bit.
I was a single mother of a Black son. I was 33 years old as an Asian American, trying to figure out how can I still be an artist and activist in my community and raise a son and who is both Black and Japanese. And luckily, I was part of a community in Los Angeles that supported and helped me raise my son. And so I was in both communities, and of course with Darabu. Darabu's been an incredible father and partner as an example of somebody who, this is a great Black man, you know, and a family to grow into and to be part of. Having a Black son just spread my world in a way that I'm part of two worlds. I'm part of many worlds, and I'm grateful for that. It's made my life richer, and hopefully it's helped me to open ways to bring people together who are different from different cultures and different communities.
Nobuko Miyamoto's concert will take place on August 5th at the Presidio Theater in San Francisco at 2 p.m. For tickets for the concert or to learn more about Miyamoto's work, visit her website at nobukomiyamoto.org.